Radio.
Oh, are you going to whisper in her ear?
It was me.
Oh, my God.
And I sodomized this corpse.
Welcome to Super Movie Brothers. Let's start the show.
Super Movie Bros. I'm your host, Super Movie Brother Dave.
I'm your host, Super Movie Brother Jay.
And, yeah, got another short one for you this time around, because let me tell you, I am...
Shorty, not a foot long, Dave?
I am fucking, like, my time is booked. It's just booked up at work. Like, yeah, I work insurance, so tornadoes, hurricanes, like, literally my job gets busier based upon the weather. So we've had some shitty weather, therefore I am busier. I've been pulling overtime. I worked a total of 4.5 hours of overtime today alone. So, like, I literally got home, like,
I can attest to this,
a few minutes before Jay got home. Because I work out of a car, I had to, like, run to Jay's house to take a piss today in between appointments. But yeah, so shit's been busy. We have a short episode, just two things to talk about this time around, because I didn't really watch anything this week. I didn't have time to watch anything, but we did purposely hold off recording until after the Matrix Resurrection trailer dropped. So we will be doing a trailer park breakdown for the Matrix Resurrection trailer, and then a week late, but we're still getting it done. Me and Jay got our Shang-Chi review, the new Marvel Phase 5. Is it 5 now? Is it Phase 5 now?
I can't keep track.
Is that how far we've come?
Since I can tell. The gray hair has kicked in.
I know. So
I was a much younger man back in Phase 1.
And we'll do a review for it, spoiler-free, and then we'll do some spoilers for it. A few little Easter eggs here and there that we discuss, obviously breaking down those post-credit scenes. But the thing that has me really excited, Jay, is we're not going to rank every MCU movie, but we are going to talk about where Shang-Chi fits in our, you know, MCU, you know, likeness categories. You know, like, where's our apex? Where's Shang-Chi fall?
Yeah, well,
what's our low bar?
Like a cushion gauge.
Absolutely.
You know, nothing concrete ranking.
But without any further delay, Jay, let's get ourselves into Trailer Park!
Cut the beat and let the music play. No Trailer Park, shout out to Dave and Jay. I don't surf, but there's a newer wave. We've been on since Trust God saved the right stop. I don't wanna flow until I know that the bass drop.
All right, Jay. So you and I...
My favorite 10 seconds.
So you and I got down to checking out the Matrix Resurrection trailer together today. And you know what? I don't know really what to make of Matrix Resurrection.
I watched it 3 times. And even still, there's so much to chew on. There were so many quick cuts of scenery, so much reminiscence of the Matrix 1. You know, what is going on? Is he in a dream world situation? Is
right.
he imagining things?
Right.
Is he put that on purpose? Like, did he do that to himself on purpose?
One thing we know, it's not a remake, right?
Correct.
But it's not quite a sequel, or it is a sequel, but it's a reboot.
I do think it's more of a sequel than a reboot.
But they still really want us to get back to where we were in the first one, because that's a nice ground zero for us who have watched the other Matrix movies and people who are going to just be coming in.
But I think it's kind of a perfect storm of a situation, because I think Neo needs to get regrounded into how he became who he is.
I don't want to spoil anything for you, Jay, but I don't know if you know this.
Maybe.
But Neo died in the third Matrix movie. Well, so,
that's what I'm saying. Again, I don't know.
Dead.
First of all, kudos to Warner Brothers, because they're doing what they meant to do. have us talk and conspire and try to think about what the fuck is going on, because there's a lot of stuff that they showed in this first trailer.
Right.
It's not even a teaser trailer.
Well, let's...
I mean, it is, but they showed a lot of footage.
Well, let's take a look at this trailer, and then you and I can start breaking it down.
One pill makes you larger, and one pill makes you small. And the ones that mother gives you don't do anything at all. Go ask Alice when she's 10 feet tall.
Time to fly.
If you want the truth, Neo, you're going to have to follow me.
The only thing that matters to you is still here. I know it's why you're still fighting and why you will never give up.
You don't know me.
No?
After all these years, to be going back to where it all started. Back to the Matrix.
So Matrix Resurrection. Neo is alive and back in the Matrix. And it seems like he's going to have some choices to make, Jay, because he's given the choice again. Take the blue pill. Everything keeps going the way it's been, right? He stays subdued. He stays hidden within the Matrix. The One never rises again. Take the red pill.
Or he's doing it and he doesn't realize why he's doing it. And then suddenly he starts to rebel against taking those pills.
First thing I picked up on, sitting down with his, I guess, psychiatrist or his therapist, is Neil Patrick, who's played by Neil Patrick Harris.
Sure.
Neo, Mr. Anderson, is sitting there, and his glasses are blue, Jay. Do you notice that? The frames of his glasses are blue, which makes me think that he is an agent meant to keep Neo subdued. So I'll give you a theory on what I think is going on, and that's just it. It's a theory. I don't think anyone really has a full grasp of what this is going to be.
It's hard to do that.
Yeah, yeah. But it seems like they have essentially restarted the Matrix and are subduing Neo because
or
he's
it's like
what,
a purgatory type of thing.
He's what broke the Matrix to begin with. So, while looking at this, we're kind of going through what seems like it's going to be about them having to reawaken Neo. One of the cool things, talk about reawakenings, what is thematrix.com, Jay? Made its triumphant return. That was the website way back in like 1998 that was started before the Matrix came out that people could go on, and it had like stills from filming and stuff like that on there, and it got people real jazzed. It took like 10 minutes to load up like any of the pictures of Trinity doing like the crane kick in midair and shit like that. But that's back. And if you go to it right now, you can click on a blue pill and it'll give you a trailer. And there's apparently like hundreds of thousands of different variants that you can get on it. The reason why there's so many is because they give you the exact time that you're watching it, which is cool. So like you watch it, if you're watching at 8:26 p.m., it'll tell you to keep taking the blue pill so that everything keeps going the way that it's supposed to. You know one thing and one thing for a fact, the time is 8:26 p.m. and it's just as it should be. Like it gives you like something, but if you click the red pill, it does the same exact thing. And it's like, but it's 8:26 p.m. Or is that a lie? So you can go check out that website. It's pretty cool that they're bringing stuff like that back. So we also see in this trailer Jessica Henwick. She's the one with the rabbit tattoo. Because first off,
oh god, did you eat all this acid?
That's right. Music.
You better pray to God there's some thorazine in that bag. Otherwise, you're in bad fucking trouble.
Music, man, put that table on.
What tape?
Jeffers on airplane. White Rabbit. I need a rising sound.
I can't hear White Rabbit without thinking of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
I understand.
But you see how Del Toro's,
I love that movie,
like,
too.
Absolute overweight ass, just tripping fucking balls on LSD, sitting in a bathtub filled with alcohol, his own sweat, and oranges.
The limes, cutting the limes, or something like that. Yeah, with a big machete, you know?
Fuck, I love that movie, and I love that scene. I can't hear the song without thinking about it. But the song is extremely, it's appropriate for this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Time.
One pill
perfect.
Makes you big, and one pill makes you small. Red pill makes you big, blue pill keeps you small.
And the slow build up and increasing the song, and it gets you really jazzed up as the action jazzes up.
Ask Alice when she's 10 feet tall. And the Red Queen says, off with their heads. Anyway, so we see Jessica Henwick. She has that. She has the white rabbit tattoo.
Looks like she's probably has a big part in this movie.
If you don't know who Jessica Henwick is,
you will.
You first off, she was Nymeria Sand in Game of Thrones, so she was one of the Sand sisters. But that's not what I know her most from. I know her most from Iron Fist. She played White Tiger, Colleen Wing. So it's good to see her, you know.
Yeah, well, she's going to be in The Gray Man and Knives Out, too. So huge, two big blockbusters coming out next year.
Absolutely. And Disney's already said that not all the Netflix shows are completely done. I believe Iron Fist is done, but we're going to talk about Iron Fist a little bit more when we do our Shang-Chi review. Now, we also get, and we already know from last week when I was reviewing Candyman that I say his name wrong, but I'll give the Yahya Abdul-Mateen.
I think it is pronounced Yahya, to be honest.
Yahya? Okay.
I think it is.
Yahya Abdul-Mateen II. So from here on out, if I refer to him, I'm going to call him Morbius Jr. or Abdul-Mateen. Anyway.
Yahya.
Everyone,
I think that's good enough, Yahya. Yeah.
No, because then, I think of the divine sisterhood of the Yahya,
right,
or whatever, you know, the divine secrets of the Yahya sisterhood. Okay, that's what we're gonna think of, Jay.
All right. But anyway, he looks fantastic.
He does look great, and everyone's like, "Is he Morbius? Is he Morpheus? Is he Morpheus too? Is he Lawrence Fishburne's character from the original ones, but now he has a new skin because this is something different? Or is he not Morpheus at all, and he's just someone who's like an uber fanboy of Morpheus, right? Like, Morpheus awakened Neo last time. I'm gonna do it this time. Hence, I'm gonna get sunglasses that clip on the bridge of my nose that are completely impractical in a fight.
I know.
Right? And other people are like, is it his son? Is it his grandson? How much time has passed?
Correct.
Since The Matrix 3 and now The Matrix Resurrection.
Yeah.
How much time has passed?
So many questions.
Is the question. So many questions.
And that is one of the bigger ones out there.
Right.
From what I've been reading.
Also,
the biggest one is what's going on.
Also, Carrie Ann Moss is back as Trinity. She got skewered six ways from Sunday at the end of The Matrix 3. Like, one of those robots came, like, flying into the cockpit and, like, stabbed her in, like, the chest and the stomach. And
butchered her.
Like, she was fucking dead. She was dead. And Neo, not only did he die, but he also lost his fucking eyeballs. And we kind of do get answers to this in the trailer, because in those quick cuts and stuff that we're seeing, we are seeing glimpses of the machines. The machines survived.
Sure.
We also see glimpses of Neo being awoken. He looks a little de-aged, right? Bald head. Looks like a younger Neo.
Very quick cut.
Do you not age in the pods and everything like that? Like, were they able to save all the pods? Were they able to put people back in the pods? Like, what's happened? Were they able to save Neo's body? Because we see there is a bald version of Neo just kind of laying on in the liquid and stuff, and there's machines working on him. And if you zoom in close, you see that the scars on his eyes are there. It looks like they're repairing his body.
Mm.
And same thing for Trinity. There's a moment where we see a bald Carrie Ann Moss. At least I think it's Carrie Ann Moss. It's hard to tell with a woman when they're bald, but with her waking up.
Yeah.
And it seems like, did they repair her body too?
I'm almost wondering as well. Now, gosh, do you think by the end of this movie,
we're getting a whole new trilogy?
Yep. Well, are we going to see, like, is Neo going to be, like, full blown back? Is the haircut going to be cut? Is the hair gonna be cut? Is he gonna shave his beard off? No. Is he gonna be like that classic Neo look?
And here's me looking at Lana Wachowski as a person and saying this movie is about
coming out.
Transition. It's a transition to something new.
Okay.
Because when the Wachowskis made the original one, they were in hiding. right? They weren't being their true selves. Now Lily Wachowski's not returning for this one. She had said that, you know, with all the other stuff that they were doing, they were filming things back to back to back to back to back. They were doing all this work, and when the idea came up about doing another Matrix, Lana wanted to do it. Lily said, "I don't want to go backwards in my life. I've literally taken steps forward to transition into something that makes me feel more whole, and I want to take a different creative leap. I don't want to go back to the same well." And Lana said, like, "I want to take another crack at it." So I think this is going to be more about transition. Not to mention, Neo was essentially a messiah. Therefore, when the messiah dies, 3 days later, he doth rise. So I mean, there is a resurrection story for a messiah, for a messianic character like Neo. And, you know, we get some callbacks to some other stuff that happened in the other Matrixes. Like we get that computer program that French guy, Muravongian.
He's in this movie.
Yeah. So he's there. And I believe that Priyanka Chopra is I believe she was in the previous version as well. But what has me most intrigued is Jonathan Groff, Jay.
I know, I was waiting for this.
I was wondering, is he like the puppet master of this blue pill of keeping Neo subdued?
I kind of think so. Him? I think to some degree he is a link. He's like a link between the worlds.
Right. Now, it's interesting because Lawrence Fishburne has said not only is he not in it, he wasn't even asked to be in it. However, his love interest from the other Matrix movies,
Jada
Pinkett Smith, Niobe, is back. So it's kind of weird. I wonder if there's got to be reasons for this. I wonder
if he's lying.
I wonder if Morpheus is dead, and you know,
it's his son.
Yeah, maybe Abdul-Mateen II is his son. I don't know. But Jay, here's what I think is going on, and then we'll end it here, and we'll get into our Shang-Chi review. But we'll discuss this a little bit. The Matrix was destroyed, right? But not every machine's destroyed, like, right?
Well, so, of course not. Things can always get repaired.
Right. Your computer crashes. What do? You can
service call.
Put in a new hard drive. Reinstall Windows. Reinstall your operating system. Start it up again. Same thing can happen with this program, right? It crashes because the one awakens everything and stuff like that. So the system crashed. All right. Reboot. Reboot the system. Now we know that there's a flaw in the system, and it's this one character, this Neo character, which is one scrambled. Oh, my God. Is this one character? All right, that's a flaw in our Matrix. That's a flaw in our system. This will always happen. So what do you do with something like that? Jay, when your computer gets a virus, your virus software says, would you like to quarantine this problem? Boom! That's what they're doing to Neo. Neo will always be part of the Matrix. The Matrix has restarted. It's been rebooted, which is why I think it also looks different. It doesn't have that gray dullness to it. Like even in the real world in the other Matrix movies, it was gray. It was dull. It was bleak. It was dour. But this literally starts off.
It had an otherworldly look, but it's also the sign of the times.
Right. But this also starts off extremely bright, extremely out, extremely proud almost. You know what I mean? Mm. Like it's very in your face the way that this trailer starts off.
Sure.
It's very bright colors. And I think the Matrix has rebooted it and it's quarantined. It's one problem. It's Neo problem. And keeping him subdued is what it is until this fucking young upstart, Morpheus 2, shows up and he's like, blue pill, red pill. Let me just save you the problem. Throw the blue pill away. You want a red pill. Take it. And then Neo goes into a training simulation with him and fucking Kamehameha waves him.
Like it's pretty wild.
Yeah, and so I think that's what's going on. Now I wonder, like,
Stopping bullets again.
And of course we see him taking the leap of faith off the rooftop.
Mm.
Of course he's gonna fly, Jay.
Of course.
He's gonna fly. Or he's gonna hit the ground, it's gonna turn to rubber because he can manipulate the Matrix, he's gonna bounce right back up. Either way, that's what I think's going on. It just makes sense.
Either way, it looks to be entertaining.
But nobody puts...
And hopefully not like the Terminator.
Yeah.
You know, the Terminator had a decent trailer. and James Cameron was saying that, oh, I'm back, baby. We're bringing it back to the first.
I'm back as a producer again, which I've been a producer in all the other ones that were awful. But I'm really I'm an involved producer this time. And then it's like, oh, I got really distracted by I was reading an article about the Titanic, and then I still had like 5 Avatar movies in the burner. I wasn't paying attention to what they were doing with Dark Fate. I dropped the ball again, didn't I? Like, that's James Cameron.
Pretty much.
That's James Cameron with Dark Fate.
Actually showed up on set for a weekend.
But like, here's the thing: like, if they have other sequels planned. I don't think like the reception of this movie is going to change that very much. You can't rely on box office because it's going to be coming to HBO Max same day and date that it's going to be being released in theaters. But
Shang-Chi did really well, and this movie's coming over Christmas holiday.
Yes,
so that's
but
money
Shang-Chi
period
did
time.
Not have a Disney Plus release to contend with.
True.
This will be on HBO Max. The problem with the HBO Max and the Premiere and the Premiere Plus and all that stuff is it makes it easier to pirate, and it shows up on torrent sites so much easier. Like, Black Widow was one of the highest.
And with families all being at home now.
Right.
During the holidays, they're going to just stay home now.
Black Widow was one of the highest torrented movies of all time because it was on Disney. It was on Disney Premiere Plus or Disney Premiere Access, and it was much easier for people to rip it and put it online for people to view. So therefore, it never had a shot, really. And the same thing with this. So they're not going to rely on box office for this. Again, like we've been talking about, they're going to have to rely on critical reception about whether they greenlight
sequels. And fan response.
But here's the thing. I think Warner Brothers is already like, nah, fuck it. We're moving forward. It don't matter, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's too late now.
There's sure things in this world, and that is we will continue a franchise as long as we think there's money to be made, and I think there's always going to be money to be made in the Matrix franchise.
Well, Shang-Chi was a game changer, right? Because first off, Venom bumped up 2 weeks. So they're coming out really soon. That movie's coming out really soon. So
I think they got high hopes.
Well, they want to keep the good times going.
I'm not saying those high hopes are well placed.
However,
I don't think
I do believe that everything now is firmly in place. I don't think anything else. I know Paramount jumped Tom Cruise's films back to 2022, but I think that's about
it. Right, but none of this really has anything to do with the Matrix because the Matrix
is staying still. For the rest of this year.
But the Matrix is still... I'm not saying it's not going to come out. But it's still going to be released on HBO Max the same day that it's in the theaters.
Correct.
So it'll never stand to make the amount of money that Shang-Chi did because...
Yes.
People can watch it at home.
I agree.
Even if they don't have HBO Max, they can still just get it on a torrent site, which there's still plenty of people. And believe me, Matrix fans know where to find their torrents.
Yeah. No, I fully agree with you.
So
it's
never going to have the chance to make that money.
But I do think it's going to do extremely well. People are going to watch it, my point.
You think it's going to do 90 plus million in its opening weekend?
No, that's where I'm trying to make my point. Not saying they're going to see it in theaters. I'm saying they're going to see it.
Right.
Where? I don't know, but they're going to fucking see that movie.
Jay, I'm not going to see it in theaters.
Well, I definitely am.
Because I have HBO Max.
If I like it, I will probably watch it 3 times.
I'm going to watch it at home.
I know
I'm
you
I'm going to watch it at home.
I'll probably watch it twice in theaters and once at home.
If I like the movie. Well, that's the thing. I've only ever liked Matrix 1. I did not like Matrix 2. I don't like Matrix 3. I watched them.
Hated Matrix 3.
But I had to look up. I had to look up what happened.
2 was serviceable to watch. I mean, there's some fun to be had.
Right.
But 1 is fantastic.
I only watched them each once. I've watched the first one a bunch of times, but I've only watched 2 and 3 once each.
I might even dress up as Neo this year.
So before you're gonna have to grow the long hair and the scraggly beard. You're gonna have to age up.
No.
Yeah. Well,
I'm going classic.
Oh. Fuck you, classic. I also heard a bunch of rumors that people who were fans of The Matrix Online, which was a video game that continued the story of The Matrix and was worked on by the Wachowskis themselves, as far as the story goes, is still canon in this and that there are references to it in this trailer. I don't know because I never played that game. I was never a big enough Matrix fan. Mm. I also didn't PC game back during the time that this came out. And I don't know enough about the Matrix lore to really go into it and be like, yep, that's from Matrix Online. I just don't know. But whatever. I'm here for the ride. I'm going to take it. I'm going to rewatch the other 2 Matrix movies that I dislike. Maybe times have changed on them. However, I don't think so. I think they've aged worse. I think they're worse now than they were when we first saw them. But I'll see. But I won't be watching them until this is about to come out. So That's going to do it. If there's anything in this trailer that we had missed that you think we should have discussed, or if you're a big Matrix fan and there's something that you're just jonesing us to get to and we didn't, feel free to leave us a voicemail on the hotline because we would love to respond to your voicemails. So you can reach us on the hotline at 267-590-9042. You can also shoot us an email at supermoviebrospodcast@gmail.com. Jay! Wake up, motherfucker. Jesus Christ. Because we got an MCU movie to review. Me and you are going to be getting down with some Shang-Chi.
I know that you don't like to talk about your life, but a guy with a freaking machete for an arm just chopped our butts in half. Who are you?
My father trained me to be an assassin, but that's not who I am.
You got this.
Thank you. You can't outrun your destiny. My name is Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi.
Shang.
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 S-H-A-N-G. Shang.
That's what I said.
All right, Jay. Throughout this episode, you've insisted on calling him Shang-Chi. He just corrected you in this trailer. Shang.
Shang.
S-H-N-G. Shang.
Shang.
Yeah. Well, they're making sure. Shang-Chi. They're making sure because this is a predominantly Asian-run, you know, movie. To not say the name properly would be kind of disingenuous to what Marvel was setting out to do.
I concur.
So you will say it right from now on. Or else Awkwafina will have to come here and annoy the shit out of you the whole fucking time.
And she could easily do that. Easily. Right.
However, I didn't find Awkwafina annoying in this movie at all.
Surprisingly. First time ever.
So,
I'm not a huge fan of hers.
Just to break down.
Yeah, you are, I think.
I do like Awkwafina quite a bit. So, Nora from Queens. Just go watch her show. It's amazing. But anyway, to break down this story of Shang-Chi. Wen Wu is a conqueror, right? He's they're careful not to refer to him as a conqueror because the MCU already has a conqueror, Kang, the conqueror. But he is a man who's quite ancient, thousands of years old, and he has conquered most of the world from the shadows with the help of 5 rings on each arm, 10 yep. rings, if you will, and that is. He held his seat of power for a long time, but that is until he met Li. Li was a warrior who was guarding the entrance to an ancient realm, another dimension, if you will. And they have a fight. And through their fight, Jay, they fall in love.
It was beautiful.
It was beautiful. And this evil man, Wen Wu, then puts a baby in her. And then he puts another baby in her. And then he plays Dance Dance Revolution. But then she dies. And then he's evil again. He sends his son to kill her killer. And his son never returns. He becomes a valet in San Francisco until
he's a good old boy. Good old
he
boy.
Is brought back into the world of the Ten Rings by one of his father's assassins who was sent to steal his pendant. So he then goes on a whirlwind adventure to find his sister who also has a pendant. And boy, mm-hmm. does he find her in Macau. And her and him team up to go after their father. Then they find out, oh shit, dad's got a righteous cause. He's just trying to bring mom back to life, baby. That's all he wants to do.
Yeah, but he's bad motivations that burn.
We can't talk about the motivations. I think that's spoilers.
Okay.
But they do find out that maybe
they want to protect the mother's legacy.
But maybe dad is being misled.
Delusional.
Yeah, maybe he's being misled. And that leads them to seek out Shang-Chi's mother's family. Lee's family to stop the father, and that's really where I that's really as far as I can go without getting into spoilers.
Yeah,
that's about as far as I can go without getting into spoilers. Important thing is, as long as Wen Wu was playing Dance Dance Revolution, he wasn't a bad guy. After Dance Dance Revolution lost all of its heat and people weren't playing it much anymore, mm-hmm. you know, he went back to being a bad guy. It's all about video games. That's what it's about. Video games chill you out. Stop playing video games, you become a dick. You have to get your bloodlust in. You got to kill a thing or two every now and then. You could do that in video games. But then sometimes you put the 10 rings back on and you just fucking lash out at the world, much like Wen Wu did.
Yeah, I think I need to channel something.
Yeah, you do. All right, Jay, let's just spoiler free right now. Did you like Shang-Chi? What did you like about it? Let's start with this new character, right? Let's start with this actor, someone who I don't think you and I are too familiar with.
Not at all.
Simu Lee.
Right off the bat, not just him. Across the board, I thought all the casting choices were perfect.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed every single role, every single character that they brought to screen for this movie, and I thought they all nailed their parts perfectly. And ultimately, it's a fun, drawn-out characters. And really do a good job with that.
So we know Tony Leung, right? We know him because you've seen Infernal Affairs, right? The movie The Departed was based off of. That's him. Like he was in that movie. He was kind of like the star of that movie. It was a big deal back in the 2000s. Right around the same time Departed came out. So, and you're familiar with Awkwafina, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's more important. Like, don't get me wrong. Simu blew me away, right? Shang-Chi blew me away. I thought for someone who doesn't have as much acting experience as he does, I wasn't expecting much from the character. But he gave me a lot of depth. And I'll break down his character a little bit towards the end of our spoiler free thoughts.
The timing, the action, like he really nailed it.
Effective villain, right? I think Wen Wu's an effective villain. I'm not as hot on Wen Wu as you are, right? You think it's one of the MCU's best villains, and I'm saying he's up there.
I do. Yeah, I really liked him.
He's still not a Killmonger. He's still not a Thanos, right? Like, I love Thanos because I love Thanos's, even though his philosophies are completely wrong, and I think I don't think they were ever flushed out as much as they could have been, but the Mad Titan, like, I at least got him. I got where he was coming from.
You know, I love Killmonger,
I think Killmonger to this day and Winter Soldier are the two that are just like hands down. Those are your villains. Those are the best ones.
Yeah, I don't know. It's right up there for me though. It's so hard. I would have to rewatch.
Well, it's certainly not Melikith, the fucking dark elf from fucking Thor Dark World. That's certainly not your number one, right? I mean, Loki is obviously amazing too, but at this point, he's an anti-hero, not a villain.
Sure, sure. But no, this story is what really got me because it's grounded and it's fantastical in some elements too, which kind of fits the story world.
I think first off,
in the perfect way.
Where the characters start
and crosses over with Doctor Strange and stuff like that. You can see some worlds in that.
Without getting into spoilers, yes.
You know, there's elements to that where you can see how that can go down the line of other movies.
That's all possible, but this is spoiler free, fucker. Jesus Christ. But it also starts our characters off, right? Right, like Awkwafina and Shang-Chi. I keep calling her Awkwafina. I know she's Katie in this, but Katie and Shang-Chi, who's Sean at the beginning of it, which is a great joke on the plane. I love that joke. But so yeah. Wait, you wanted to hide and you changed your name, so you changed your name from Shang to Sean. Shang to Sean.
Yeah. With an Sean. SH.
With an S
A U N. Yeah.
But anyway.
Sean. Yeah.
But anyway, they are valets, right? And but like we see friends of theirs from high school and stuff talking to them,
and content,
right, and it's clear
they're like content with their lives.
It's clear that these are two people that had all the potential in the entire fucking world,
yeah,
and they are just content to be that. And I think that says a lot about
our current culture
about our current youth. And I think like people like me and you, because I don't think you and I ever really went after our dreams. Believe it or not, we're doing it right now. This podcast is our dreams. We're living it. It ain't great, but it's all right. It's fine.
You know, unless you have a lot of luck or a burning desire and focus of how to accomplish what you want to do, right. Most people really are going about it kind of aimlessly and cluelessly, right. Not knowing and needing that lucky person to kind of pull them through
for them
to find their way.
Work is
work. Which is hard.
And then when work's done, we're going to go to the bar. We're going to sing karaoke. We're going to get drunk.
Put a movie on and go to bed.
Yeah. And we're
start it all over again the next day.
Right. Exactly.
Exactly. I mean,
just living the 20s lifestyle.
Dude. And that was another thing. Like right off the bat, they they right off the bat they go right into that. They go right into that. And they show no qualms about it. You know, they live their life. They enjoy their life. They it's not like they're late for work. They're there.
No, they're
there. They showed up.
God, how many times have me and you showed up to work just fucking hungover to shit?
Forget about it.
I mean,
I don't know work without being hungover.
I don't know if Sean shows up to work hungover. He might.
He looked a little too good.
Yeah. He definitely wasn't hungover. I think Awkwafina might have had a little bit of a hangover tied on, but but that's one of the things that I really liked about it. Like also, like Awkwafina doesn't get annoying. They kept her jokes to just the perfect right times, where it's like been about 5 to 10 minutes. We haven't
I liked her. Yeah,
we haven't had an Awkwafina joke yet. Boom, there it is. We hit it with you. Haha. Here's the funny. Boom, back to a fight.
And it was
it just worked.
Consistent within the story and the world and the place that they were in.
So I do want to talk about Shang himself, Shang-Chi, for a second, because one of the things I really liked about his character is the fact that he is not a perfect hero. Right? Like he mentions that he killed people.
That's a spoiler, motherfucker.
Not really.
Yes, it is.
I don't think so, because I'm not mentioning who he killed. So, but he didn't
confess that until late in that fucking movie.
Right. But he is not perfect. Like, there's one point where he's fighting Death Dealer, right? He's fighting Death Dealer, and he has a moment where he has the knife held over Death, and this is also one of the best fight scenes in the movie, but he has the
Razor Fist?
No. Death Dealer, the dude with the kabuki mask.
Oh.
Stay with me. He has the dude who trained him. So
gotcha.
He has the knife held over his head, and he can stab Death Dealer, and he pauses because he's not going to do it because he's an MC. Nope, he doesn't. He doesn't kill him, but he does go for the kill. He goes for the kill because he hasn't become the hero yet. He's not the Avenger yet. He's Indiana Jones and fucking Temple of Doom, Fortune and Glory. Mm. He's just not quite there yet, but he's getting himself there. He hasn't quite gone through his hero's journey, his Campbell journey, if you will, like his Luke Skywalker moments, right? He hasn't gone through that full hero's journey yet. So he's flawed. I love that. He is a flawed hero. So many of the characters in the MCU kind of show up and they kind
of got mommy issues.
They kind of stay the same, right? I think Tony Stark it took them a long time to change. They didn't change much in one movie. They changed from 2008 to 2018, 2019. That's where their change happened. But for Shang-Chi, we got to watch it happen in a movie. We got to watch him kind of grow up. And kind of accept the realities of this world that he's in. And I really like that because I like having a hero with some flaws. It's really the Marvel formula. That's what made Marvel back in the day stand out over DC. DC was these larger-than-life characters. Your Batman with unwavering ideals of justice. And your Superman, the all-American boy. You know, truth, justice, and the American way. All this stuff, like, that's what DC had going on. Yeah. What did Marvel have going on? They had a fucking guy in an iron mask who was drunk half the time. Right?
I'm not done talking to me.
Just get out this door, Rummy, and you're the city's problem.
They had Reed Richards, who was a womanizing bastard towards his wife, right? They had all these flawed characters. The Hulk, who's a rage of fucking emotions at all times. All their characters were flawed, and Shang-Chi is no different. And I like that. It's a nice little touch. Anyway, diatribe over.
Yeah, well, let me just quickly point out, Razor Fist, he is the actor that...
I'm sorry, Taserface?
His name in the movie is Razor Fist.
Taserface.
Whatever.
I think you mean Taserface.
I'm sorry. I am so sorry. I just keep imagining you waking up in the morning, sir, looking in the mirror, and in all seriousness saying to yourself, you know what would be a really kick-ass name? Taserface! That's how I hear you in my head!
No, it's not.
I know it's not, Jay.
All right, shut up.
The name is just as dumb as Taserface, right. And they make fun of it in the same exact way that Rocket Raccoon makes fun of Taserface.
Razor Fist is Victor Drago from Creed 2.
I did notice that. Yeah, I knew that.
And this is the third movie he's ever been in. This is the only movie he's been in since Creed 2.
And just like Victor Drago, he barely had any speaking lines.
But he wasn't bad at all in the movie.
He's fine.
And I saw him all day long.
He's a presence.
I saw him. I saw him all day long. I thought he was very, very professional. He did a really good job on set. He was definitely. I was very impressed.
Jay, standing where a director tells you to stand for a shot, does not make you like a professional. It just means you know how to shut up and do what you're told.
I liked him a lot.
Doesn't mean he's a great actor. Anyway. But no, Razor
Fist. I'm happy to see him working.
Yeah. Razor Fist was fun to watch. They had some fun with the character, had some fun with the name. Because when you have a dumbass name like Razor Fist, I don't think you can have that exist in a movie.
I've heard a lot worse.
Like Taser Face. I want him to know it was Taser Face what done it. but yeah, so but I really want to get into Xia Ling, the sister of Shang-Chi, right?
Very complicated woman.
Very complicated character, right? Because when we start off, when we meet her, without getting into why, she is not so hot on her brother, right?
No.
She does not like her brother. And in fact, they have a fight. I won't say who wins that fight, but they have a fight. And, you know, they do go on this journey together, but it's begrudgingly. She doesn't want to go on this journey with him, but, you know, father's getting up to some shit.
But again, I was very impressed by how they handled it.
It was very reserved, right? But
it had to be, though, because of her age and
right
the age of her trauma.
But I think with her,
it'd be harder to come out of.
They sowed just enough seeds for the future to keep it interesting.
It's perfect.
To justify
perfectly
her presence
handled.
Here, but also justify why she's not a bigger part of the story. Because there's far more with her to come. So
bring it on.
And then
bring
finally, Jay, just Wenwu. You said you like this villain. What is it that you like about this villain?
His story, his arc, his ebb and flow, and also his performance was just phenomenal. And I love the dynamic of the father and not just son, but like father, son, and daughter relationship and how that challenge came into play, you know, as things went on later on in her life after the trauma. So, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, it's a great ideology of myth, but also like this quiet superpower controlling the fucking world selfishly, well, however he wants.
It was very clear that they kind of set
for
him
thousands of years
as Genghis Khan.
Very kind of cool idea,
right? They kind of set him up as Genghis Khan, right? Like he's
yeah.
It's very
he's
much
impacted the course of history over
exactly.
the years in ways he wanted. You
and
know.
And he said that he built his empire and stuff like that.
Sure.
But his empire didn't like on the surface. If you literally ruled the entire world, that just paints a target on your back. So he went underground. He ruled the world
sure.
from secret.
Yeah,
and I like that, and I do like the motivations and stuff like that of the father, and I because you know Wenwu is his father, but that's not spoilers. But what I never understood, and this isn't about the actor at all playing Wenwu, and this isn't about it's more about like the story. I just question like, all right, so he was this pure evil overlord for so long. He falls in love and just that evil melts away and he's a happy-go-lucky father. And then his wife dies and, okay, evil back, right?
Like, yeah, but I understand that.
I think
he was evil for so long and then he fell in love and he was trying to
he just wanted to
strong.
Take a walk. He just wanted to take a walk on the other side for a little bit.
Well, look, every evil person has
I just mean, like,
good in them.
He disbands the Ten
Possibly.
Rings. He gives up his empire. And then, like, his wife dies.
He retired.
And it's almost like he gets on the phone. Yo, Ten Rings is back. Yeah. And then Razor Fist on the other side goes, oh, yeah. And he puts his Razor Fist back on.
I bought it.
I'll just say it. He took a long time away from the game, and then he just jumps back in. Unless someone was running 10 rings for him while he was off playing daddy and stuff.
Five
like
years
that.
He took off.
Seven.
Six, maybe.
Seven.
Seven, man.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. The mother died when Shang-Chi was 7 years old. So,
all right.
Anyway, I like the character. I like the villain. Definitely up there in the upper echelon of MCU villains. And MCU, believe me, has a lot of terrible villains. So it's not hard to crawl yourself to the top. But I don't think he's a Thanos the Mad Titan. I don't think he's a Loki. And I don't think he's a Killmonger. He sits just below them. Just below them. But he's good. He's good. And man, other than that, I think the music was fantastic. The score was fantastic. But
sure.
This
fight scenes.
This movie
fight
lives
scenes.
And dies on those fight scenes. Like,
and they were brilliant.
20 minutes into the movie, we get the bus fight scene, which we've all seen the bus fight scene in the trailers and stuff.
And the whole
like
rest
that.
Of the movie is all new shit. Because
yeah.
I don't remember seeing much of anything else in the theater.
Just
I mean, in the trailers.
Just a couple quick cuts in the trailers and stuff like that. But
it was glorious.
The fight scenes were absolutely phenomenal. Downside, The end of this movie is a CGI fuck your eyeball fest. Like,
sure,
it skull fucks you.
However,
with CGI
it is a special, like, mythical town. Like, it's different. Know, like, which I that so that's why I was like, okay, that makes sense.
It's different, yeah.
And the creatures and the CGI stuff, I don't know why. And this is coming from someone who hates CGI for the most part.
I don't know why, but I just wanted
I
this.
I went with the flow.
It didn't
bother me. I was shocked.
No, it's fine. Yeah, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying, like, and it's not. I'm not really knocking this movie for it, but I just want one superhero movie to just like I always loved the way the Daredevil seasons ended, right? Like, Daredevil just stood and he fought somebody. He just had an awesome fight with
Scrappy.
Somebody. Right. Scrappy. Just fights off the hand, right? With
that kind of film.
This
yo.
Wasn't. It didn't set itself up to be. But damn it, with a kung fu character like this, that with some awesome fights, I just wanted him and his father to have a straight out knockout, drag out brawl. And then they got the mystical monsters involved and all the hoopty doopty and the whoopalas going on, and I was like, no, I'm going with it. Don't get me wrong. You made it make sense in your story, and I love it. But, man, you're fucking my eyeballs with that CGI all the fucking way. It was good CGI, too. It looked good. There's only a few times where I was like, that looks a little wonky. But everything looked fantastic, so I can't really knock it for it. And that's just my plea to the world. Just give me a scrappy ending for once. Just give me a scrappy. Captain America had a scrappy ending, right? Him and Winter Soldier just duking it out.
Yeah.
And he just drops the gloves and gets his ass beat and the whole fucking helicarrier crashes and stuff. But
I hear you. No, I hear you. I think that would have been nice. But again, the dude's wearing 10 rings. He ain't taking that shit off. He wants to fight. Falls out. Now, let me add one quick thing that was, right up when I walked out of this movie theater, I went into the doors and I saw just a crowd of like 20 or 25 friends and family members, all Asian American, all hyped up after watching that movie. And I was just like, and I started crying walking by the car.
They should be.
In the parking lot. I was like, and
they should be hyped.
That's where it made me realize, like, holy shit, this is like
Jay, coming-
the Black Panther aspect of. You know, effect of like that kind of culture for like this is their movie.
Well, don't forget we
never happened before. Really,
we are coming out of a year
this kind of scope
of hashtag Stop Asian Hate, right? Like,
well, and that too, yeah. And,
so, but they should be jazzed.
It didn't. I don't know why it didn't really occur to me before. You know, but seeing that, like,
one of those little kids can just go to school and if someone teases him for being Asian,
so
he just has to
up.
Do a Shang-Chi like pose. And they'll be like, you know what? I might not fuck with you now.
I got so choked up. It was so great.
If I was a little Asian kid, I would wear a fucking green pendant to fucking school every day.
God damn right. You're going to be seeing a lot more green pendants around.
I would be like,
you know that.
I am from Thai Lao. Don't fuck with me. Heart of the dragon, bitch. I will fuck your day up. And I'll do your math homework if you ask nicely. No, okay, that's fucked up.
For $5 and lunch.
Yeah, be entrepreneurial about it. You're good at it?
Good.
If you're good at something, never do it for free. Anyway, Jay, why don't you shore Shang-Chi for me?
Solid A-.
Yeah, fuck.
Solid A-.
Fuck. We're the same. I'm an A- on this, too.
Fuck,
yeah. That was an A-.
We keep grading things the same. No, I did. I was originally at A, and I kind of, more I thought about the next day, I dinged it down to A-, but it's a solid A-. Really liked the movie a lot, and I went in with low expectations. Pleasantly surprised, to say the least.
Normally, I think me and you, we always have like that. We always have the drags a little bit in the middle. This doesn't. This doesn't drag in the middle at all.
Now you do feel the weight of the length. It's 210, 212, something like that.
I didn't at all. I thought this movie was a fucking breeze.
I only noticed it until. When we got towards the end,
I can't.
And I was like, okay, now the buildup of the grand finale fight is about to happen.
I can't.
And I reflected it upon because there was a pause. And I was like, okay, they're prepping for the big fight. And then that's when I kind of like realized, like, oh.
I can't get into.
And I think when I was texting you, I actually did text Dave. I should not have.
In the theater, you did.
I know. And I was like, dude, this is fucking awesome.
It is awesome.
And,
it's
and
an
I
awesome
was
movie.
Because like, I was just wanted to check the time because I was curious. I'm like, oh. Because I was like, I feel like I've been. I guess because it just was enthralling throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
That, like, I was just, like, kind of getting, like, spent. Like, I was just so much stimulation going on for so long, for, like, an hour 45 minutes straight before the fucking grand finale is about to kick off. And I was like, wow.
Stimulated, yeah. Like, Yeah, like
it was good. It was all good stuff.
Like you bought yourself an auto blow, like those that automatic jerk off machine that you just sit on there and you watch porn with VR glasses
with the good lube.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
the non sticky lube.
With the water based self heating lube. Yeah, for sure. But no, the I can't really get into the thing that bothered me most about this movie. The thing that moved it from an A to an A minus with it without getting into spoilers. So, Jay, without any further delay, let's hit that spoiler warning.
Spoiler warning. Spoiler warning. Spoiler warning.
Yes, I love the fact that the short film All Hail the King is a part of the is like a part of this, right? And Trevor Slattery is there. And I was like, yes, we're bringing it all full circle. Trevor Slattery, the fake Mandarin. I also love the way that Wenwu says that I've had many names, but I've never been called the Mandarin. To think Americans, the Westerners were afraid of a chicken dish. they kind of dispel those things like real quick. But Trevor Slattery, Ben Kingsley, annoyed the shit out of me in this movie.
Yeah.
I think it worked.
I thought it was a funny little callback.
But here's
much.
The thing. It worked in Iron Man 3 because we had the opposing views of him, right? We had the, never see me coming. And then we got the, ole, 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 like the fucked up drug addict Trevor Slattery that he was. It was great. Because it was like this duality and stuff like that, and it added a different layer to the movie. But here, because we already know who Trevor is and we already know how Trevor works, when we get him, I'm just like, I already got Awkwafina. What do I need another comedic relief for? And why do I need Sir Ben Kingsley, one of the greatest actors of all time, to be it? I don't. I think it would have worked better as like a brief little cameo, keeping him there for the whole rest of the journey throughout the third act.
Yeah.
With his no face, butt faced, four winged dog friend animal the whole time. He only got one more laugh for me.
I don't know why I actually.
He only got one more laugh for me, and it's when the creature walked up to him and he goes, no, I'm not dead. I'm just playing dead. Play dead with me. And he closed it, and he just rolled over and played dead with him. And I was like, that's cute. It got a little chuckle from me. Yeah. After that, I was like, I don't want to see him again. And luckily, I didn't.
No,
I didn't have to worry about it.
No. But like,
I was a little disappointed. He was standing amongst the survivors.
I laughed my ass off when I first saw him.
So did I. But that's it. It should have just been a cameo.
And the last one.
When they left, they should have left his ass there.
Right. Because you're right, because I didn't laugh until the very end, too, when he was like, play dead.
Play dead. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Everything else he said was fucking annoying. However,
it wasn't that much.
This. When he talked about why he became an actor, it wasn't a big laugh, but he mentioned it like Planet of the Apes. He didn't know that it was people playing the apes.
Oh, my God. I did laugh at that, too.
What's that? But it was really.
He sold that so well.
It was really apes riding horses.
Oh my God. All right, fuck you. I actually liked his appearance. No, he gave me three good laughs in that movie. That's right. I can't believe I forgot about that.
I don't know why.
Wasn't in it that much. No, I'm fine with him.
I think it's the maze. I think it's the maze chase where he's like, he's talking to the CGI thing in his hand and he's just like, he says, make a left. And it's like, okay.
Hard right. Hard left.
Yeah, I don't know why. I was just annoyed with him. I think a cameo was a nice way to keep it.
Yeah,
there.
But I was fucking laughing.
This was more than a cameo. They made him a fucking
Out
character.
Out loud.
They made him a fucking character. But anyway, so just to get into spoilers a little bit. So they get themselves to this like mystical city of Tao Lao, which they also meet their mother's sister, who is played by Michelle Yao, and she's Ying Nan. So she is she's the one that kind of trains Shang-Chi to fight differently than his father, right? He was trained by Death Dealer and his father. And I thought, Jay, I welled up with a little bit of tear when her and him were having their spar, and she stopped him, and she opened his palm.
Oh.
Never strike someone with an open with a closed fist, because the closed fist represents anger, and his father is all anger. But with the open hand, he can be much more fluid, right? It's not about that that power. It's not about rage.
Right.
It's about going with it. It's about going with the flow. You know, it's about
of the nature.
Right. And that goes like right, not even nature, but that goes right back to like to even if you think about Bruce Lee and like his philosophy, like never be rigid, because if you're rigid, you'll break. Be flexible. Be like bamboo. I am like bamboo. Like that. That's what she was teaching Shang-Chi to be. Like, be like bamboo. Be fluid.
It's the bamboo forest.
I enjoyed that aspect, but you know, we the father Wenwu eventually does get there with Razor Fist, Taser Cunt, whatever his name was.
Taser Nut.
Taser Nut. they get there with the whole army of the Ten Rings, and when the whole army of the Ten Rings is there, I went, that's a pretty small army. I'm not really believing that you are the mess.
I know, dude. Okay. Thank you for saying that, because I did exactly think that myself,
like,
too.
I
was like, really? That's it?
Yeah.
That's your whole shebang?
That's like being like, Ra's al Ghul is the leader of the League of Shadows. Yeah. And it's like, you mean these 10 guys right here? This is the League. Like,
really?
This is the League of Assassins? Like
Batman can easily take care of this.
I've seen Batman fight a room of 10 guys before. Yeah. So like, when I saw this army, I was like, why are we shaking in our boots? And then the big CGI monster breaks out of the mountain. I went, got it. I get it. I also didn't like the moment where they're like, we need to all fight together, the Ten Rings and the people of Talal, we all need to fight together. Razor Fist is like, no, you know, Ten Rings all the way. And then he sees Death Eor just get unceremoniously dispatched by a creature who sucks his soul out. And he goes, okay, we're together on this. And I was like, whatever. Just get back to Shang-Chi fighting his daddy, please. And they did. But it's not him who really defeats his daddy. His daddy defeats himself. Again, like this, like, I wanted a knockout, drag out brawl, and instead I got a CGI monster sucking out his soul.
But again, I think they never fully gave Shang-Chi the saying that he's better than his father for any particular reason, because he's not. And I don't really see why he would his father. That makes more sense for his father to sacrifice.
Well, no, he got the training, himself. Right? So he learned a different way. He could throw something different at his father.
Perhaps.
Even though it's the same thing that his mother knew.
And it didn't
really
remember,
work. His mother was the only person to ever defeat his father.
Correct.
So theory, they don't explain this in the movie, but theory. I think the whole time that he was good, he was under a little bit of control and spell from Shang-Chi's mother.
Did you see her face? She was gorgeous.
She was. I think that the dragon gives, like, her power under dragon. Just like we were talking about with Neo, Jay. If there's a problem in the world and you see a problem to the world, the best thing to do is to not destroy it, because it'll always rise again. It's to contain it.
Mm.
It's what we did in World War II with the Mafia. Mm. You know what the United States government did with the Mafia in World War II? They're like, man, all of our men are off fighting in on foreign soil. What do we do? How do we protect our docks? If we pay the Mafia, they'll protect our docks for us. And they did. And we did that. And the CIA did that. If you have a problem, Jay, use that problem. Control it. Don't let it get out of hand.
I never knew that.
So I wonder.
I'm surprised I didn't know that.
If you watched The Rocketeer, you would. We talked about this last week. It's part of The Rocketeer. The Rocketeer teams up with the Mafia to take down Errol Flynn and the Nazis in Hollywood. Watch it. Damn it. I went full Bill Eichner there.
Yes, you did. Or Bill Burr. One of the two.
No, Bill Eichner. Bill Eichner on the streets is one of my favorite like YouTube things to watch. But anyway. So I think that she saw Wenwu as a danger to both her world, her dimension of Talal, and she also saw him as a danger to the dimension that she is protecting, which is our dimension, Earth. And she subdued him in the only way she could, with her pussy.
Mm.
It's the only way that works. But no, I do think that there was some, you know, Talal Tai Chi fuckery going on there. For sure.
Some good sex.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, All right. I'll go with that.
Because she uses the Ten Rings at one point as well, right? And when she uses it during their fight, hers is yellow as well. Only when Wu's is blue.
Huh.
And I think that hers was yellow because she has the heart of the dragon, because everyone from Talal is somewhat genetically tied to that great protector
and
dragon.
She has part of the dragon inside of him.
The mother said to him,
Okay, it's all coming
together. You have the heart of the dragon.
There we go.
Because he's part of her and she's part of the dragon. And everyone from Talal is part of the dragon. And let me tell you, this movie was everything I wanted Iron Fist to be. Because Iron Fist deals with Kung Lao, you know, the mystical city of heaven in another dimension that you can only get through once every 10 years through this Himalayan passage. Here we got, you know, a maze that you can only get through at a certain time, you know, and at a certain place when everything is just right. Like Tao Lao, Kung Lao, like, or I've been calling it Tao Lao. I don't even know if that's the name of the other dimension. I'm not even quite sure. I might be completely wrong in how I'm saying it, but who cares? I've said it so much at this point. Someone will correct me, Duty. I'm sure it's you. But anyway, I knew it'd be you, you son of a bitch. Anyway, so, you know, I wanted, like, in the comic books, Shang-Chi and Iron Fist have both teamed up to be heroes for hire. So when I was watching this, I just wanted Iron Fist. And I didn't want the Netflix version of Iron Fist. Yeah. I just want that character to still exist because I love that character. And these two and the two stories are have so many similarities and so many things going for them that where it's like it just seems like they should team up at some point. So I'm just asking for Kevin Feige to give me Iron Fist, please, in the sequel. Because we're getting a sequel, Jay. We're getting a sequel. We're getting a sequel in the fact that when this movie ends and the father's been defeated and the ancient evil that was hiding in the mountain who was controlling Daddy has been defeated by literally referred to as a Kamehameha. Like Katie later on refers to what Shang-Chi did as a Kamehameha. So straight up Dragon Ball Z reference there. They go back to their lives. And Xia Ling, the sister of Shang-Chi, goes to quote unquote dismantle her father's empire. And instead, she essentially takes over her father's empire. Very much a similar post-credit scene to Emily Van Camp's Sharon Carter end credit scene in Captain America,
right.
in Falcon Winter Soldier, right? She is now the power broker, and we know that she's the power broker.
Off the grid.
And now Xia Ling, even though she helped her brother defeat her father, I don't think she fully forgave her brother for abandoning her.
No, she never had that closure scene with them.
Nope.
No, she was still always on the fence trying to help sort the mess with the father but essentially really to protect
right.
the mother's legacy and her town.
So the 10 we the tagline, the 10 rings will return.
Sure.
I don't know when. I don't think it's Shang-Chi 2.
Not anytime soon.
That's a while away. I think it's going to be on Disney Plus in some TV series that's coming up. Secret Invasion.
I would prefer to see a more stripped down version.
They
put a ton of money into this and a lot of CGI and special effects, you know, choreography, all that bullshit. I don't need that. I would love to see a miniseries.
Right.
I would love to see a miniseries.
I think you might with the 10 rings. I think they might show up again. Not to mention, in this movie, we also got another MCU callback, Blumsky. Fucking Abomination fighting Wong in Macau in the fight club that was run by Xia Ling. They are fighting each other. Wong, what a fucking cut up, man. We couldn't talk about him in the breakdown, but
that was a great surprise, and it makes a lot of sense.
I mean, we saw Wong in a trailer, but I mean, sure. I really thought that was going to be regulated to like they're fighting off in the background. Isn't that cool? I didn't know that he was going to have a speaking role and be fucking part of it. Right, I didn't know that he was gonna do his fucking magic circle ring and show up in the bar and tell Shang-Chi and Katie to come with him that you're Avengers now.
Yeah, that was cool.
But he did.
It was really cool.
That's what happened. But one of the things like I noticed about their fight, right? Like first off, their fight was fun, but when they were done, when Shang-Chi was meeting Wong and they were kind of like in the locker room area after Abomination and Wong's fight. Wong seemed awfully chummy with Abomination, right? Abomination went with him willingly. He called him by his first name. He didn't call him Abomination. He didn't call him Blomsky. He called him by his first name. And he's like, come on, let's go. And Abomination just went through the magic circle ringy dingy thing, and that was it.
I thought you were going to be able to answer that for me.
You were hoping. I have a theory. I don't have an answer, but I have a theory. We didn't get Val this time because Shang-Chi was supposed to be released both before Black Widow and Captain America and the First Avenger. It seems like every time Val shows up, we're getting a version of a Dark Avenger or a Thunderbolt. You know, bad guys or anti-heroes used on a team to do dark wet works type stuff. Suicide Squad, essentially. And it seems like Val's putting that team together. So if you think about the dark versions of characters, we have the new Black Widow, who was an operating agent of Dreykov, long after even her sister broke out of it. We have the version of Captain America who doesn't quite live up to the Stars and Stripes, so he doesn't get Stars and Stripes. He's just a U.S. agent. He doesn't represent America. He protects America as a dark agent. And then we also now have the Dark Hulk. We have Abomination. I just think that they're setting something up. I think Wong's just there to have a good time, though.
Oh, yes.
I think Wong just likes to fight, and I think he has a good time. And this is what he does on his off time.
It's exactly what it is.
All right. So
he saw that. He could easily beat him at any time. He was losing when we first saw him, kind of.
So when Wong shows up at the bar to take Shang-Chi and Katie back to the Sanctum Sanctorum, I think this takes place before Spider-Man No Way Home, because there's the Sanctum Sanctorum's not covered in snow. Mm-hmm. So whatever caused that hasn't happened yet. But he is on a conference call with two other Avengers. He's on a conference call with Captain Marvel and with non-Hulky Smart Hulk. Bruce Banner. It's just regular old. I think they crunched the numbers and they decided it was too expensive to do Smart Hulk all the time. So, not to mention he's going to show up in a Disney Plus series for She-Hulk a lot.
Yeah.
So they were like, "Oh, yeah, we don't want to spend that much money on a TV show."
No, I want to see Ruffalo and all of his glory.
But he's still in a sling. So the arm is still damaged.
Yeah.
Also, the Abomination is part of the She-Hulk TV series as well. So we will get closure on this in that, possibly. And it is Tim Roth. And it was Tim Roth here as well.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
He did the mocap for it. Uh-huh. He did the voice. So,
that's true.
Anyway, so they start analyzing, what are the Ten Rings?
Right.
Well, we know from Captain Marvel that it's not any type of technology she's seen out in space. It's not Kree. It's not Skrull. It's not any of that bullshit. So what is it? We don't know. Okay, moving on. Bruce, what you got? Well, it's not vibranium or any other type of thing that is known to ours,
our
but
planet,
it's much older than that even. And it's like, okay, cool. And they're like, oh, and on the atomic level, it releases a signal. Where's the signal go? We don't know. Okay. So the
a lot of questions and no answers.
Right. The theories are that the signal is going out to a Galactus.
Yep.
A celestial.
Yep.
A world eater.
Yep.
Other people are saying that it's going to a different dimension for an interdimensional being to rise, Mephisto, you know, Dormammu, other things like that. And other people are saying, no, the Ten Rings are a part of the Eternals. They've been there for 7,000 years, much older than the books of the sorcerers go. I don't know where it's going. I'm not going to put down a theory. I just know that the Ten Rings are going to have something major
you can't do a theory yet. No. It's just stupid.
No. I think the Ten Rings have a major... They are essentially moving forward with them as the Infinity Stones.
Mm.
Whatever they are going to be the catalyst for the next thing that is coming.
Right.
They've already started. They're sowing the seeds for that now. Or we'll get more technology like that in the future that will be, you know, tied to the Ten Rings in some way.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Jay, after that scene... We get Shang and Katie having a discussion where they're like, we're Avengers now. We got to be responsible. We should go home. We should get a good night's sleep. Just like they were talking about when they were valets. We got to work early tomorrow. Blah, blah, blah. Let's go have a little fun. And they go to the bar and they sing Hotel California, which was Katie's diffusing mechanism for when people wanted to beat up Shang. She just diffused them by singing Hotel California. And they're there drinking drunk. With Wong, who is also singing. They also sing Old Town Road, which is interesting because if they're singing Old Town Road, that song came out in 2019, which means Lil Nas X survived the snap in this universe.
Well, he would.
And he wrote Old Town, which means in this world, he's 5 years older than he is now. I wonder if his abs still look just as good.
I'm sure. He's a petite guy.
Yeah. and then we get the Ten Rings after that. We get the Ten Rings finale where we see, you know, Zhai Ling's little dude, the dude who was running the Macau Fight Club and stuff like that. Which I got to say, everybody was wrong. Everyone said that Fight Club was in Madripoor, right? Since we just got that. It wasn't in Madripoor. It was in Macau. It just looked like it was because I guess that's everyone thinks that every Asian city looks the same. Maybe they do at night. I don't know. I've never been. But yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of things people were wrong about in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, I think they did a fantastic job of like really hiding all of the behind the scenes stuff, all the little nuggets, all the little story developments.
Jay, after I saw the trailer, I thought I had saw the movie. I thought
the first act had so much going on in it where they were able to hide it within the trailer.
It's good. It's good.
They did a great job.
It's good.
All right, I'm done talking about spoilers. I could break down this movie like hand over fist and 10 times away from Sunday and throw every Easter egg at you. I don't care. I don't care about all the Easter eggs in this. I'm not a big Shang-Chi guy. I've never read a bunch of Shang-Chi comics. There's not a whole lot to read for Shang-Chi out there. He's been an Avenger. He's been a secret Avenger.
Might be now next year.
Currently, right now, there was a miniseries that was going on in Marvel Comics, which I hear was actually pretty good. Matt Fraction also did a run on the character, which anything Matt Fraction writes for Marvel has been pretty damn good. So anyway, where does this fit in your MCU like pantheon? Like where is this
upper middle?
Okay,
I don't have a list in my head right now.
Put something next to it. Put something below it.
Ooh, baby.
I know. I just put you on the spot. I did tell you we were going to be doing this stuff, so you had plenty of time to think about
it. I would say this is, you know what? I'm going to go with this is right above Black Panther, and right below is going to be the hardest one. I'm trying to think because I got to think.
All right, here I go.
You got to start with something.
Above Ant-Man, below Black Panther. Right there, right in the middle. I like it. I like it a lot. Had a lot of fun. I think the next time out with Shang-Chi is going to be a lot more fun. This character brings a lot to the table for the MCU.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of what the MCU is going to be doing, I think this is their Iron Man. I think that's why it involves the Ten Rings. I think that's why it brings it back to to where MCU started, with the Ten Rings and Iron Man in a cave, you know, which I also got to wonder, was Wenwu running Ten Rings at that time, or did Ten Rings split off and become a bunch of different things, and he had to go in with his Ten Rings and fucking beat the shit out of people and bring them all together and say, hey, you're being too loud. The whole point of the Ten Rings is that we operate in secret. Stop being so loud. By the way, you let this Iron Man guy out. Why'd you do that? We wanted that power. We wanted that. It makes sense. He's a guy that craves power, that he would want what Tony Stark could make. But anyway, I think because they bring it back to that, because and this is the start of a whole new phase, essentially,
mm-hmm.
I think that Shang-Chi is going to be a big linchpin for what's coming forward in the MCU moving forward, just like Iron Man, the original one, was.
Yeah.
There, I said it.
I think it's a pretty good idea.
Yeah, for sure. All right, that's going to do it for Super Movie Bros this week. You never said one above or one below, Jay. I know you said it was above Black Panther.
I know. I'm trying to think of what it would be.
Well, what's your number one MCU movie? Is it still Endgame?
I think it's Endgame.
Okay.
But then you got like...
All right, let me ask you this. Is Shang-Chi above or below Winter Soldier?
Oh, it's below.
Okay. All right, there we go. We're starting.
I told you upper middle.
Above or below First Avenger, Captain America 1.
Above.
This is above Captain America for First Avenger for me, too. It's my least favorite Captain America, so.
Yeah.
Above or below Civil War? Above or below Guardians?
Below, above Guardians.
Above Guardians. Say this is below Guardians for me. I think Guardians is perfect.
I'm not a huge Guardians guy.
I'm just distracting you, turd blossom. So you can reach out to Super Movie Bros if you want to comment on anything.
I need
that
a vision
we talked
board.
About this week. You need a 23 yeah. movie, 25.
We have
movie
a whole blackboard in behind board. Me. I need a vision board.
So you, if you want to comment on anything we said on the show, you can reach
out to
us.
We're going to shuffle our list around on the
board. Our social media. You can catch me on Twitter at Super Movie Pod. You can catch me on my Instagram at SMB Dave on there. Jay, where can people find you?
Twitter, J_SMB, and on Instagram, Super Movie Bros.
Hit up that hotline. In the description of the show. I already gave it earlier. Listen to Age of Radio, ageofradio.org, all the great shows, Age of Radio. Listen to us. There's a player there. Binge us. All that good shit. Send us emails.
Give us a review on iTunes, please.
Look, all of our links. Just check the description. I'm tired. I got a lot of work to do tomorrow. I want to thank all you guys for listening. Have a great one. Cheers.